Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from overcast Southern California. Hope you're good. A little May gray today. Discover matches all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. I like outside-the-box hires. And I like them because, heck, I've positioned myself to be an outside-the-box hire in some circumstances. Not all, but some. And things have to make sense for you. And I found what the Pac-12 did today as interesting. Like, how many of you know who the commissioners of these conferences are? Can you name any of them? Steve DeSager, you do the updates. The new commissioner of the Pac-12 is who?
Yeah, a guy I'd never heard of before from MGM, George Kliavkov.
George Kliavkov, who comes over from MGM, is the president of MGM, sports to be the commissioner of the Pac-12. Can you name any other commissioner in college athletics?
Greg, who's the SEC, is always
Greg Sankey.
Greg Sankey.
Yeah. So you couldn't, but you knew about who it was, right? Yeah. You're like, Greg something or other. Saying, yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. And I'm not in any way trying to impugn your knowledge of it. Like, nobody
No,
does,
you are correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So,
ACC
one of the reasons,
just had a new guy, right?
They did. It's James Phillips, Jim Phillips, who was the AD at Northwestern.
There.
So, like,
yeah.
It's really interesting how people see Northwestern athletics. Northwestern, they haven't redone the football stadium yet, but the football practice facility is, like, right on the lake. It's amazing. The basketball arena is spectacular. And, look, he hired Fitz. He hired... what's his name? The coach is the Dookie. Why am I blanking? Doug Collins, Chris Collins. And he did an incredible job. But in the industry, people know who Jim Phillips is. They respect him. But, you know, in the mainstream, we don't really know. Like, he's a great athletic director who did a tremendous job in the Big Ten, was not named as the commissioner of the Big Ten. So he went and got the commissionership of the ACC. What's fascinating about this hire is I think it's because it's MGM. And it automatically makes people think that there's going to be some sort of gambling element. Like, oh, we used to run MGM. They're going to open it up to gambling. Here's the statement released by the commissioner. He is the prototype for the new sports commissioner. While George has deep sports experience, his biggest asset is ability to listen, connect with diverse groups, find common ground, collaborate, navigate the evolving landscape. We believe George's overall skills and experience will become even more prevalent in college sports leadership. Kliavkov is the president of entertainment and sports for MGM Resorts. Bruce Feldman, who we all love from The Athletic and Fox Sports, he's proven to know how to get stuff done, but he didn't say stuff. He's not Larry Scott. He's going to listen, collaborate, build trust within the ADs. In other words, that's what Larry Scott didn't do. So Disney signed a 10-year, $3 billion television deal with the SEC to broadcast football games on ABC and ESPN starting in 2024. So people think, they're like, oh, well, hold on now. This guy is going to come in and he's going to, right? Look, the inherent problems in the Pac-12 conference don't really have all that much to do with the commissioner. I'll be the bad guy and tell you the real, right? It's they have the Pac-12 network. It's like, wow, well, they made these bad decisions with the Pac-12 network. You know what the real bad decision is? To have the Pac-12 network. Do you know why? Because everybody told them, I don't think anybody's going to want that stuff.
And they did it all themselves, Doug. They didn't partner with anybody.
So they didn't partner with anybody. They try to keep it themselves. Yeah. People are going to... I don't know how much of that is him and how much of that is them.
But he served as Pac-12 network head as well as conference and gave himself two salaries. So Larry Scott was getting $5 million, which the other more successful conference commissioners were not getting.
I agree, but here's the truth to it, okay? The Pac-12 is the least valuable of the major conferences, and he got them on par at the time with all the major conferences in terms of payouts. It's the, say it again, you're like, it's the least valuable. It doesn't mean it's the worst. It doesn't mean it doesn't have great schools and great football and basketball programs. It doesn't mean that USC is not popular. It doesn't mean any of that. Look, 66% of the viewers of sports are in the Eastern time zone. Say it again to yourself. 66% of the, and if you want to say, well, that's changing with the evolving landscape of people moving to, where are they moving to? Texas? All right, Central time zone. Nashville, you know, like the areas they're moving to, not really moving out west all that much. And that's always going to hinder them. It's like you'll get people pushing back on the idea that the Pac-12 is going to do some 9 a.m. start times right next year in college football. Man, we can't do. Why they do 9 a.m. start times? Because that's when people watch football in the Midwest and in the Midwest and in the East. And when you're on at 7 o'clock, when you can actually get fans in the stands in basketball or in college football, when you get the full house of people there, that's 10 o'clock on the East. They just ain't watching unless it's something so spectacular. And then, oh yeah, by the way, USC being down in football hurts them. Just the reality of it. So what do I think he'll be good? Yeah, I think he'll be very, very good. And I think people will like him more. And he has, and there's a lot of smart people, and they'll evolve, and they'll probably move to a mostly digital platform or whatever. But what happens is, we do this a lot in business. We do it a lot in sports, where we go, this coach sucks, or this general manager sucks, or this. What about the players? You know, like you just can't, if you just don't have players, it doesn't really matter. In sales, if your product's bad, your product's bad. There are really good products that are marketed and sold the wrong way. There are average products that are sold in spectacular fashion and packaged, and the timing is, and all those, right. But I'm just telling you that the Pac-12 and their inability to draw ratings, their inability to get people to watch the Pac-12 network, all of these other, most of these issues are just because of the product. And honestly, some of it has to do with the quality of the product, but most of it has to do with other ancillary things that aren't changeable based upon who the commissioner is. I'm just not. Like, do I think Adam Silver is doing the best job? I don't. But I also think he's navigating a very tricky landscape, a sport that has always been player first, a sport which has, you know, it feels like 95% of the best American-born players are white, maybe almost 100% of the best American-born players are black. And you get into social justice and you have to support your players. You have to support your employees when it's something they're incredibly passionate about in their real lives. That said, it's going to damage you some in business. Do I think that's the reason that the NBA's ratings are down? No. No. Some of it's the product. A lot of it is it's on TV all the time. And because of the pandemic, we went from one season to the next and nothing's really important. There's no fans in the stands. Like we kind of tapped out on the fanless NBA game, NBA regular season. I didn't watch NBA regular season games where there were fans in the stands. Now there's not. Pass. Let me know when it's important. There's people there. Does that have anything to do with the social justice? No. Will there always be a percentage of people that say they don't want to watch because of it? Sure. You'll pick up the same amount of people that watch because of it. You know? It's about the product. It's about the timing. It's about the market. It more than about the commissioner. Now, reaching out to the gambling world, that's big. Remember, there's John Wildhack, the AD at Syracuse. He used to be my boss at ESPN. So we've seen, if you can lead, this is no different than Ted Lasso, right? You guys all watch Ted Lasso? Ramos, did you ever go watch Ted Lasso?
You know what? I told you I was, but I did not last night. There's a lot of stuff going on at the house, so I apologize for that.
Good stuff, bad stuff. What was going on? Nobody wanted to do their homework? Did you have to smack some kids around?
I did not do that. Like Jonah has been a little bit unruly. Is that the word? Unruly lately? Yeah,
unruly is the word. Yeah. Teething? What's going on?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that, and just not happy right now. He was up till 1 o'clock in the morning last night.
When you have
night,
a family of 10, it's always something.
They live in a shoe.
Yeah.
They live in a shoe. I heard he's a bit of an a-hole. That's what I've heard. That's the rumor.
Don't tell Suzanne.
Whoa.
He's basically Baby Stewie. That's who he is.
Family could use a shoe sponsor, actually, at this
Gavin,
point.
Gavin, have you watched Ted Lasso?
No, I don't have the new Apple TV Plus. I got that from
my
parents.
Code. Yeah. Oh, you get your parents? I'll give you my code.
But that's how everyone's watching it, I think, pretty much. Like, you get that, and then you get the free year of it.
Yes.
But I've heard a lot about it. I do want to watch it eventually.
Okay, good. We'll make that happen. The point is that Ted Lasso doesn't know anything about soccer, but he knows about coaching, and he knows about people. And that's what will allow him to be successful, right? Which is the same with the new commissioner of the Pac-12. He knows about people. He knows enough about sports. He knows about business. Do I think it changes the fact that the Pac-12 has these issues with time zone, popularity on the West Coast? You know, I mean, Stanford has this incredible sports program outside of, you know, basketball struggled in the last kind of decade, but nobody cares. Even at Stanford, they don't care. They're too busy dominating the world's economies, right? I mean, you know, University of Washington, the Huskies, although they're bad this year, they were good the year before. They're like the best basketball team in a basketball-rich city like Seattle. It doesn't make people want to go watch them on the TV set. You still have those inherent problems. I mean, UCLA basketball has now become, you know, even with their rise in popularity with the Final Four, they're at best the third most popular basketball team in the city. USC went to the Elite Eight, and they're like 10th.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So, I don't know if the league, I don't think anybody in the league is like, man, how do we screw a team, right? But there are easier schedules on paper and there are harder schedules on paper. Now, some of it has to do with the success you had, right? You have a first place schedule and a fourth place schedule. So first place teams play first place teams. That's why the Packers schedule is incredibly daunting, right? Look at the toughest schedule. Now, the Steelers, they're interesting because they didn't have, they were the last undefeated team, but they fell apart late. They played 9 games against teams that won 11 or more games in 2020. Now, some of that can be a creation. Again, it's half the teams that make the playoffs in a given year don't make the playoffs next year. So here we are saying that they play 9 teams that were good last year. Stands to reason 4.5 of them are good this year, right? They open against the Bills, and they travel to Green Bay 2 weeks later. They play home games against the Ravens, have to, they're in their division, travel to Minnesota on a Thursday. That's how they start their season. You open against the Bills, who are a talented team that's been the playoffs, what, 2 of the past 3 years, is that right? 3 of the past 4? The Steelers end with a 4-game murderer's row. Titans at Chiefs, Browns at Ravens. Now, look, 2 of them are divisional games, and you're going to play divisional games at the end of your season. As we pointed out, Washington plays 5 divisional games to end their season. But Titans and at Chiefs, woo! Steelers have the toughest schedule based upon 2020 win percentage. Their opponents finishing last season a combined 155, 115, and 2. That's a wow. Green Bay faces the 4th most grueling schedule of strength, absorbing 10 showdowns against teams who made the playoffs a year ago. And they have a week 13 bye. New England is the only team in the NFL that faces three opponents coming off of a bye week. And on net, the Patriots will have 15 fewer rest days than their opponents. They also get their own bye week late in the season, week 14, which sounds like it could be a bad thing. It should be pointed out, help me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think week 14 was when the Buccaneers got their bye week last year for Tampa. Tampa, on the other hand, going to be favored in every game. No Drew Brees in their division. Darnold in Carolina. Atlanta's about to rebuild. So, look, six of those games, the NFL can't control. They open up with Dallas at home. Now, I think that's a tougher game than people want to give it credit, despite the fact that Dallas has been crummy the past 2 years. Atlanta, again, conference game. But to open your first two at home, that's interesting. It's interesting. Then to the Rams, to New England, Miami, to Philadelphia. And this looks like it's a rebuilding year for Philadelphia. We have no idea where Miami is in their growth. Then Chicago at home. They don't play at Chicago in bad weather. They go to New Orleans bye, at Washington football team, Giants, at Indianapolis, at Atlanta, Buffalo, New Orleans, at Carolina. And they play one, maybe two bad weather games. That's amazing. Their schedule is cake. And some of it is their own doing. Some of it, look, they cross over, obviously, against the AFC East. And so that's why they play Miami and New England and the Jets and Buffalo. But the fact they don't have to go to Buffalo, despite going to New England, right? Their two road games in the AFC East are New England. Obviously, we know why that happened. And against the Jets. That strikes me as very, very fortunate. Cowboys also have an easy schedule. Cowboys really haven't beaten a good team in 2 years. They face the NFC South and the NFC East. The NFC South, outside of Tampa, who they open with, seems like it's in rebuild mode. And the NFC East was the worst division in football last year. So I don't think they set out to screw a team or a franchise or whatever. But what they've created seems to benefit the Buccaneers and the Cowboys, who happen to meet up.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
John Middlecoff joins us. Three and Out is the podcast. First of all, when you walk into a barbecue joint, what do you normally get?
Burnt ends, ribs, probably. Or, you know, if someone had given you a specific recommendation. I lived in Kansas City for a couple months, did an internship in college with the Chiefs. So, like, when you would go to Jack Stack or whatever the specific places were, there was like a go-to order. But if you don't know, I'd probably say burnt ends is usually my go-to, or something ribs.
Okay, do you like, is there a style? Okay, so St. Louis is the beef ribs, right? Memphis is dry rub. Carolina, they use the vinegar in the sauce, right? Kansas City, obviously, they got a multitude of places. Hi, may I help you? Right? They got a bunch of different. Yeah. Which is your, like, this is my jam?
Like, I lean, if I'm going to go ribs, like, I don't mind getting kind of wet. You know, so the barbecue sauce, applied it on, I'm cool with that. Like, I know what I'm getting into if I'm going to eat ribs. Now, if they're dry and they're good, I don't mind either. But I would probably lean, like, a sauce on top. You know, where you have to have the wet wipes after. I like ribs where you have to have the wet wipes after, for sure.
I like dry rub ribs, pork ribs, a little pulled pork, and I mean pulled chicken is fantastic as well. I like the sauce on the side of those, so I can dip if I want to. Just if I like the sauce, I can, and I like a little bit of a sweeter sauce. I can take any kind of sauce; I don't mind it. And I always do get some hot links as well with it. Like if I'm going to do it, and then you got to have sweet tea. I mean, you really, if you want to do it right, I almost always do an Arnold Palmer, or I'll do half sweet tea, half regular tea. As my former producer, Adam Klug, liked to say, this is a great one you can steal, which is plain iced tea exists on this planet for one reason, to be sweetened. That's what it exists for. John Middlecoff is our guest in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. When you worked in the NFL, did you guys get carried away with the schedules?
No, not really. I mean, I think it's a bigger day for the logistical people, you know, the people that are in charge of the hotels, the people that are in charge of season tickets, you know, stuff like that. But I think the coaching staff, week one, I remember my first year going out to OTAs, and Andy used to have different periods for, I mean, at the time, obviously, with the Eagles, the NFC East teams. Like, he wasn't even focused on necessarily, like, week one opponent. It was just like we had a Washington day or a Giants day, just because obviously you're going to play those two teams. And at the time, you know, the Giants, Coughlin had been there forever, and the Cowboys, maybe it was Wade Phillips at the time. But that's, yeah, I don't remember it being that. I mean, it's an exciting day. It's cool. It's definitely probably got more cool and exciting the last 3 or 4 years as the networks have kind of put all their chips in the middle of the table, because us as fans and consumers love it. But probably more on media and fan driven than like I don't think Belichick thought that much about it yesterday, right? He already knew who he was playing.
No. Okay.
The first couple games for a coach, I think it can, you can maybe lock into if they have a new coach, opponents with new coordinators early in the season, because you're not going to have that much data. You maybe attack a couple off-season projects for your offensive or defensive coordinators. But as a scouting staff, you're just – it doesn't really change your life.
I know. It doesn't. But I do think that getting off to a good start is incredibly important. I remember we weren't working together at the time. McVay's first year, he got the Colts at home, and Scott Tolzien was the quarterback. And I was – I watched the third preseason game the Colts took on the Cowboys, and I texted every one of my friends and I said, I've never done this, okay, because I usually only do this if I have some sort of inside knowledge, right? Insider trading. I don't know anything, but I feel like the Colts are one of the least talented teams in the NFL, and Scott Tolzien cannot be a starting quarterback. This is a layup. They won 41-9, but the early schedule was even the first loss was to the Washington football team, who McVay had come from, so he knew all the personnel. I felt like that was the first year they got to the playoffs. I do think those first couple games, if you get a little bit of a soft schedule, can get you off to a hot start, can kind of propel you down the right path.
Yeah, like I'll give you a team. I mean, the 49ers, they get a pretty soft landing spot. They get first opening game, Dan Campbell's opener. Jared Goff, who they have beat four straight times when he was a quarterback on a way better team, and just the Lions aren't that talented. And the Niners, you know, last year had the season from hell, and they still weren't that bad. Like, they're going to kind of be out for blood. That's a game, the early line that's sitting here right now is like 7 points. I could see that being, you know, one of those like 30-6 games when the dust settles. The Niners should kill the Lions.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, what are you hearing about the Aaron Rodgers thing?
I just think that you talk to people in the league, they can't imagine the Packers pulling the trigger. But when you sign Blake Bortles out of nowhere, it's like, well, are you just randomly doing that? Right? Because to me, that signing would be, well, you need a guy, you need a veteran who can be your backup if Jordan Love's your starter.
Now, camp arm? Didn't that give you a camp arm?
Yeah, but to me, a camp arm, I'm just signing some random dude. Like, if I need a camp arm, I'm not signing a veteran player. Now, that's me. I mean, some personnel people disagree. I guess the offensive coordinator was around him when he was in Jacksonville, or one of the offensive coaches, Paul Hackett's kid. So, do you think he's going to get traded? Like,
no.
I still think it'd be pretty stunning.
I just think Blake Bortles was available. It's a non-guaranteed deal. He wants to come in and work out. They may end up – remember, last year, they didn't even dress Jordan Love, right? They had a legit backup. And oh, yeah, by the way, they got it. Like, they got to protect themselves in case – what if he does do something crazy like hold out, you know? I don't think any of it – but more than anything, it's the same thing as the Tebow deal, right? You got to know somebody in the room who's going to go like, yeah, let's bring him in. That's really what it feels like to me.
I thought the Tebow thing was pretty overblown. Like, one, he hasn't even officially signed yet. And if he does, there are 90 guys on the roster. 90. You know, you're taking him to camp. Now, ideally, you would sign a younger guy, but people are acting like he's going to take some guy's spot. One, if he made the team, he would have to earn it and be really good in camp. And two, like, he's not taking anyone's spot because there are 20 to 30 guys on every roster now that it's 90. For a long period of time, it was 80. So they just added 10 guys. And even at 80, there weren't 80 players that were like NFL caliber. that it's really not that big a deal. Now, if he's a complete embarrassment and they don't cut him after a couple days, then I could see it. Then the other thing was, like, what are the Jags locker room going to think? You guys watch the Jags? They've been drafting in the top five for like a decade straight. I'm not too consumed. Plus, Urban's the thing he's most worried about now is his quarterback is Trevor Lawrence, right? Yeah. So it's not like Tebow's the quarterback. I really don't think much of it. And one, they haven't even signed him yet. He's not on the team. Now, I watched Urban talk to Collinsworth on his podcast, and they tweeted it out. Sounds like they're going to sign him, but it'll be a much bigger deal perception-wise than it actually is in reality.
I completely agree. And then you have people doing the correlation between Tebow and Kaepernick. How does
that
have
nothing to do with each other? But it's the world we live in.
Yeah, no, it's a bizarre thing that it's like one of those. Like you got it's like racist guy where guys see stories like, oh, it's racist.
Like, but it's also one of those things, Doug. If you just like don't log on to social media for the day, there's not a human being you would cross in the real world where that would come up. Not one. So it's like there is a discrepancy of just feels like that's a little more social media driven, which it feels loud on there. But if you like go into the gym, someone be, oh, you see Tebow side? You know, just no one would say that.
Yeah, I tend to completely agree with you. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. John Middlecoff hosts 3 and Out podcast. Outstanding. He's former NFL scout, also former grunt in college football. And the dude knows people, knows everyone. And I cannot tell you how much I enjoy listening to a series of pods, not just that one, but the 3 and Out pod in terms of the National Football League. Okay, I can give you one place you want to go see a game this year. Is it Vegas?
Yeah, it'd probably have to be. Do you see the prices those tickets are selling for? I talked to your producer. Crazy. He was looking to go. I mean, they are outrageous. But it does kind of make sense, right?
I said this at the time. Okay, when Vegas was floated, and then it was happening, and they were trying to get that guy Sandy Alderson to throw in the cash because they didn't have any cash. It is the greatest home run in terms of relocation we will have ever seen. Look, the LA thing was brilliant. They got the stadium, but it hasn't really worked for the Chargers and the Rams. It's sort of worked with, but like let's not kid ourselves. That is the greatest home run ever. Ever. Every seat will be sold. It will be a zoo. The stadium is awesome. The Raiders have been searching for, ever since the Raiders moved out of Oakland the first time, they want a new stadium. Okay. Now they finally have a forever home and a place that's going to love them and a town that's going to call them their own. And oh yeah, by the way, it's a Southwest flight from anybody else in the West Coast that called them a Raider fan. And everybody wants to, like, Vegas for a weekend to go see a football game. Sure. That's where I'm going, honey. Like the thing is, it's the best thing I've ever heard in sports.
Yeah, I mean, me and the Raiders butted heads because back when they were trying to leave, I knew a ton of season ticket holders, and I knew how devastating it was going to be when they left. But from a business standpoint, you're right. Here's the one thing that they did have at the Coliseum is, now granted, they were really only good there a couple Gruden years and the one Del Rio year, but if the Raiders are good, that the place was rocking. And at Candlestick,
yeah, but they
right
never they
the
built
Niners
the
left.
Whole they built the whole Mount Davis, and then nobody's even allowed to sit up there. Nobody even sat.
Well,
up
no,
there.
No. My point is that just the Raider guy that was allowed to go if the team was good, the place was a home field advantage. In Vegas, it's going to make them money that they never made any money. That's the irony.
And it'll be an
Raiders.
Incredible home field advantage. Those same people will get
but
on
do
a
you
Southwest
think so,
flight.
I do think that some of those people are just going to be priced out, and a lot of the high-end, you know, if I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and let's say I don't live in Kansas City, I do business in Chicago, but I got some cash, I can't afford to pay $1,000 a pop to go watch the Chiefs in Vegas, and I can do two things. I can go on a boys' trip, I can take my wife and kids. Like Vegas, the great part about Vegas is, you know, it's kind of got something for everyone. It's not just there to party. Like, you can do a lot of things. So I do think they are going to get a ton. I'm interested in how the crowd looks. I know it's going to be money, and it's going to make the Raiders rich, but is it going to be like a home field advantage? And I want the same thing with L.A. I think it's just kind of going to be a place where people go. The other thing is, unlike like Levi Stadium, for example, where the Niners play, their boxes are sold to companies that are mainly in the Bay Area and are Niner fans, right? The Niner fans pay for the tickets. In Vegas, it is owned by the casinos who are going to just – the people that are going to be going to the games are just going to be high rollers, not necessarily like Raider fans, which who I don't know if Mark Davis clearly doesn't care. But I do wonder just the vibe in there, if it's going to be some crazy like Kansas City or Seattle. I don't know about that. But the money, I'm with you. It is flowing once they can, you know, sell the seats again.
Yeah, I think it's I don't know. I get what you're saying, right? Like it's but like even the Laker games where you have the lower bowl is all the people who want to be seen. The upper bowl is still the real folks. So I still think you'll see if they're smart, they'll find a way to have the black hole and you know, guys on weekend furlough. Come in.
That's what I'm saying.
This is a true story. Okay, this is a true story. I don't know if you don't know this. My sister was the number two in marketing for the Raiders. Okay. So they used to say this in Oakland. Like, listen, the Oakland Raider fans would rather pay for their tickets than pay their rent, right? But and that sounds the passion, as you point out, is incredible for the Raiders, even from the people.
It's very collegiate. It's very collegiate.
Yes,
like Alabama football or something.
But all the money that you make, like in order to, the reason that the Raiders have never had the cash to spend is you couldn't sell to anything on the other side of the bay. Nobody in San Francisco wanted anything to do with anybody in San Francisco. That all changes here, and I still think those fans are their fans. They may find a way to only go to one game a year instead of eight games of the year. But that's good. That'll help. The parole officer only has to look for him that one game a year. I'm teasing because I love Raider fans. Go ahead.
And they gain, you know, Vegas is a growing city. So if you live there, if they're just semi good, you're just going to gain a bunch of new fans. Like that's undisputable.
Yes.
Like,
and you're going to get, I think you're going to get back a lot of Inland Empire, Southern California fans. That were Raider fans growing up, and you get.
Here's the key, though, Doug. They have been to the playoffs one time in 19 years. If they stay bad, like
you got
to get good.
Yep,
you got to be good.
Are they going to be good?
I don't think so. And when I say I don't, I just think they probably be what they've been. I think the AFC, when you look at it, is way better than the NFC and just stacked. Obviously, the best team in the AFC is the Chiefs. But then the Bills are unreal. If Wentz just kind of gets back to normal, I don't even need him to be great again, just average. The Colts are a power. All three teams in the AFC North that made the playoffs last year are going to be good. You know, the Browns, if Baker just can
forget
maintain.
Forget that. The AFC West, who they have to play, Kansas City, the Chargers are loaded. I mean, they find a way to get hurt or misplay things. They're the Chargers, right? But they are loaded.
Their talent is better than the Raiders.
Oh, unbelievable, right? Because they've been drafting so high for so long and and Telesco's done a good job. And then the Broncos are a quarterback away. They're quarterback away. I think they could be better or as good and maybe not have as good a record because that division's so good. We got to go. John Middlecoff, Three and Out is the podcast. We'll talk more about the prices of those tickets. We'll use his podcast money to have a bro trip to Vegas. We'll get that thing done. Thanks so much, John.
See ya.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we like to play for you something we heard earlier on Fox Sports Radio, Fox Sports 1, we call it.
And now.
What does the Fox say?
This was Colin Cowherd on the Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favored in every single game. They will not go undefeated. First of all, there's some big trap games here. If you look at Tampa's schedule, so you've got the Rams on the West Coast, then it's Belichick, which you could overlook the Rams, and then after the Rams and the Patriots, you don't think there could be a little letdown for Miami? Absolutely. The other thing to remember is load management with 17 games. Bruce Arians tends to be very player-friendly. You know, he's not Tom Thibodeau, okay? He's not going to press you every practice. it's very likely that Bruce Arians gives, they have receiver depth and defensive line depth, linebacker depth. They're going to give some guys off weeks. Also, Brady's old, not just quarterback old, he's old. He just had knee surgery. I don't buy 17-0. I think that Rams, Patriots, Dolphins, three-game stretch, nobody's going 3-0 on that.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. They're not going 8. They're not going 17-0. Not just because you don't want to go 17-0, because he'd love to go 17-0. You're just not. The reality is that one thing we haven't discussed, which is a real thing, the likelihood is we always have that, do you go to be undefeated, not go to be undefeated? That's part of it. But also, that extra football game not only creates a lot different, and remember, there's extra playoff teams, a lot more games matter, but there's going to be a lot more injuries. Just, it's the volume of, it's no different than if you drive a really, really nice car. You know, we had a really, really nice SUV. I won't say the company, we got the extended warranty, which took everything up to like 75,000 miles and never had a problem. We got to 80,000 miles and suddenly the trans went and a couple other things went, right? And you're like, what the hell happened here? And you ask any guy, like, look, it could be the best made car in the world. You get to 100,000 miles and you're going to start breaking. That's just what happens. You get to 17 games and people have never played 17 games before and things are going to start breaking. That's what happens.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.